The first point, slipping off, Winnie, just keep your fingers there. Great. I think the heat from the glass curls it all up. First of all, repentant sinners were to be freed from sin and death. This could only be done by the death of sin itself, and of course, the effects of sin, which is death. So in other words, death was to be destroyed by death. And this was done by Jesus destroying sin in His own flesh. Thanks, Lynn. Now, although there could have been a number of red heifers in the Old Testament, the conclusion that one would draw is that there was only one red heifer. And those ashes were carried with them through the wilderness. Because we do not have another occurrence of another red heifer in the Old Testament. And this would, of course, point forward to the fact that there was only one Jesus Christ. And that's why this is such a special ordinance. Because the blood of bulls and goats was repeated all the way through, every year on the Day of Atonement. But this ordinance is a very special ordinance. It is unique because it speaks of the uniqueness of Jesus. There's one little theme that I would like to develop with you. And that is this theme of dust and water. In the case of the red heifer, the dust of the heifer was to be kept outside the camp in a clean place. And once needed, they were to gather these ashes, they were to mix them with living water in a vessel, and then these living waters, this water of separation, was then sprinkled on the unclean person, and then the person would become clean. I bring you to Numbers chapter 5. And we're looking here at the waters of jealousy. And we find the same principle here. Dust and living water. Here the dust is taken from the tabernacle floor. It is mixed with living water in an earthen vessel. But it was not sprinkled. Here it was to be drunk by the accused woman to prove her innocence or guilt. Now you'll remember this law well. This law concerning the jealous husband. How that if he suspected her of being unfaithful, and as a result he became jealous, we dealt with that in one of those questions in the Exodus game the other night, he could bring his wife to the priest together with 1/10 ephah of barley, and verse 16, and the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord, and the priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel, and of the dust that is on the tabernacle floor, the word dust there, the same Hebrew word, afar, and the priest shall take it and put it into the water. The Septuagint gives that as living water. I'd like to make a little note of that, LXX, living H2O. Verse 18. And the priest shall set the woman before the Lord and uncover the woman's head. And of course the priest went on then to question her about her unfaithfulness to her husband. She was then required to swear with an oath if she was innocent or not. And then she was to drink this water of jealousy, which, if she was guilty, would cause her belly to swell and her thigh to rot. And of course that would speak of the failure of her sexual organs. Verse 23 of Numbers 5. And the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall blot them out with bitter water, and he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water that causes the curse. And the water that causes the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. Verse 27. And when he hath made her to drink of the water, then it shall come to pass that if she be defiled and have done trespass against her husband, that the water that causeth the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. her belly shall swell, and her thigh shall rot away. Now the word thigh there is the Hebrew word yarek, and it refers to her sexual organs. And the woman shall be a curse amongst her people. And if she be not defiled, but be clean, then she shall be free, and she shall conceive. Now, knowing human nature as I do, especially in myself, especially being a hot-blooded male, I would say that that was an unfair law. Because I know in my deepest heart that men are by nature more promiscuous than women. And Jesus says in the New Testament, if a man looks at a woman to lust after her in his heart, he's committed adultery already with her in his heart. So why the woman? Why is she to be blamed? Surely this whole ordinance is back to front. Surely it should be the waters of jealousy for the husband, because he's the one that is usually more promiscuous than the wife. And of course, at first reading, that would be the conclusion. But you see, when we look at Scripture just glossing over it, we never really get to the meaning, do we? Who's the husband? God's the husband. Who's the wife? Israel's the wife. I bring you to Exodus 32, and you'll see how these ideas begin to thread together. Thou shalt have no other gods besides me. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And of course, the principle of the waters of jealousy had been carried out before. You'll remember Moses had descended from Mount Sinai with the law. And verse 19, it came to pass as soon as that he came nigh to the camp, that he saw the calf and all the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand, and he brake them beneath the mount, and he took the calf which they had made, and he burnt it with fire, and he ground it to dust, and he threw it upon the water, and he made his wife drink. They had gone a-whoring after strange gods. They had committed adultery. They had been unfaithful. They were worthy of being cut off. And of course 3,000 were. Look at it in verse 28. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people in that day 3,000 men. So we see that water and dust has two effects. There are two sides to the same principle. The two-edged sword is something for us as well as for them. It's the same sword. We see that dust and water could invoke a curse, as in the case of the waters of jealousy here. But that dust and water could also invoke a blessing, as in the case of the waters of separation. I bring you now to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, that incredible episode of the man who was born blind. Now of course, this was an event that happened in the life of Jesus. Of that there can be no doubt. But what we want to do here is we want to look not on the line, not between the lines. Let's try and look a little behind the lines. Let's try and stretch our minds a little. Because I would suggest to you that this is an enacted parable. Who is it that is born blind, brethren and sisters? It's us, Gentiles. The Gentiles were born blind. The Jews were never born blind. This is a little parable about us. I'd like to remind you of the words of Isaiah. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. Speaking of Jesus. I will hold thy hand. I will keep thee. I will give thee for a covenant of the people, a light of the Gentiles to open blind eyes. If you'd like to make a note of it, it's Isaiah 42 and verse 6. And here we see it, brethren and sisters, an enacted parable upon those who were born blind. The Gentile bride of Christ. Notice the blessing here associated with dust and water. John 9 and verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. He made dust. Man was made of the dust of the ground. Remember Genesis 2 verse 7. So there's the word ground again. And what did he do here? He made clay of spittle. That's water, brethren and sisters. That's living water that came out of his mouth. And he anointed his eyes with clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation 1 cent. Go wash. Go dip yourself in Jordan 7 times. Elisha to Naaman. Go wash and be clean. He couldn't see it, brethren and sisters. Not only was he blind, but he had this living water and dust on his eyes. He had to stagger down to the pool of Siloam. Couldn't see. That required faith. Not only that, it required obedience. And the water from Jesus' mouth, the living water, and the dust of the ground which made clay, was to be washed away and to invoke the greatest blessing. Like the ashes of an heifer, he was to be made clean. He was to be made whole. And not only that, he was given sight. Verse 7. In the middle of the verse, he went away therefore, and he washed, and he came seeing.